I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bradfo Show. That's my open. That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hits Bradford. That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion. Bradfo Show.
That's delicious.
The latest Bradfo Show, Jerry Remy from Spring Training. We talk cancer. We talk broadcast. We talk everything that you would ever want to know about what is going on with Jerry Remy, what he went through, what he is planning on doing, all of it. And we kick it right off, right out of the gate. We hit the ground running in this one, talking with Jerry about spring training in the old days. And then we obviously get into the stuff that's newsworthy. Listen to Bradfo Show. It's a good one.
The Yaz trick was this. I got here. It was toward the end of his career. And his trick was to come out here the first day and work out for about 6 hours. He'd do everything. He'd take fly balls, ground balls, a hit. And then you wouldn't see him for like 3 days. He'd go back to Boca Raton because he couldn't move. So then he'd come back, and they'd always write the story. I think Larry Whiteside would write the story, that Yaz is in the best shape of his career.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't matter.
Well, he worked out 6 hours today. I haven't seen him in 3 days.
Well, we haven't seen him in 3 days, But then he would come back. It was totally different times. And I really admire and respect the shape that these guys get in even prior to spring training.
So Jerry's down here at spring training. You're going to be here for the duration now, right? You're going to be calling the games from now until toward the end, right?
Right.
That's
right.
How the schedule.
Last week of the last five of the six games.
I mean, that's you can get on the exercise bike and the rubber suit. You don't need to. You hit the ground running on March, whatever you're doing it. So take us a little bit through, if you can, because I know people want to know, how your offseason has been. I think I saw you at the Alex Cora press conference. You looked great then. You were doing your last chemo session, correct?
Right, yeah. Right. It's been a difficult, physically and emotionally, it's been very difficult. It started last June with the surgery, and the surgery was very, very difficult. It took me about 8 to 10 weeks to get over that. And the down part of it was that, they thought they were going to be able to go in and get the tumor through surgery. As it turned out, they couldn't get it all through surgery, and it had spread. And that was really the downtime for me. I mean, it really hit home, where I've got to go through chemotherapy, and we did 3 cycles of that. I came through that pretty well. It was a little bit like a roller coaster ride, but, I talked to a lot of different people. I talked to John Farrell, for example. I talked to Bob Fortin, a friend of mine, a childhood friend. Mary Ellen Lynch, my Lynch's wife, I talked to her. I talked to as many people as I could who'd been through it. And it seems like everyone had a different story. And mine was a different story. I made it through the 3 sessions fairly well. And then I had 27 straight days of radiation after that, which finished up probably the middle of January. So since that time, I've had no treatment, and it's been basically trying to get my wind back and my resistance back and things like that. So I try to do a little bit of walking every day and try to get that built back up. But it was trying, physically and emotionally trying. But, you have no choice. And, the interesting thing, Rob, when you're going through stuff like this is you're sitting with people who you look to your left and look to your right. There's somebody in worse shape than you. And they give you incredible motivation. They really do. They're so strong, these people, and it really was a help to me. And the reaction that I got from the fans, from people I don't even know, it was just the outpouring was just amazing. I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it. So those kind of things help you get through it. And let's face it, you're faced with this. You've got to deal with it. You deal with it, and you try to move on.
When to go back to the timeline, I remember we had we were coming back from Kansas City, and that was going to be. You had just done your last game, last series before you had to go into surgery.
Right.
So, like you said, you have the surgery, and it's not taken out everything that you had anticipated.
Right.
So,
everybody was very confident that would do the job, mm-hmm. But that didn't quite do the job. You know, it had spread, mm-hmm. and that was the low point. That was like, you know, wow, you know, we're really going to go through this, you know, because every time I've had a procedure done, it has taken care of it for that particular time. This was a little bit different, and that gets a little bit in the scary area, you know. It's mm-hmm. Something I hadn't experienced, and something that was very, very, you know, I was, it's a very scary word for me, was chemotherapy. So, but, you know, the doctors were great. I mean, and the best advice I got was just do what your doctors say, and they was tremendous over at Mass General, and they carried me right through. So I'm very lucky to be here. Mm. You know, I hope that's it for a long time. Mm. I really do, and I just want to get back to doing what I enjoyed doing, and that's Red Sox baseball.
When did you feel in the off season? When did you feel sort of like, all right, you know, last 4 or 5 months really sucked, or
ever
said, did you say, okay, you know, I can start moving on a little bit? I mean, you're never quite moving on, but
the radiation, once that was finished, you know, that fatigued me quite a bit, and I was after 5 weeks of that, I was pretty tired, but then I knew it was over. You know, I knew that was the last part of the treatment, so I continued to get, you know, a little better after that, a little stronger, and that's still going on today. Mm-hmm. And you know, I wouldn't say I'm in 100% yet as far as my endurance goes, but I will be there by the time I start doing games. You know, that's one of the reasons I like to get down here early. I can walk around a little bit, get some exercise, get up to the ballpark, see the guys, see what's going on, and it's kind of an outlet for me that I really enjoy. So I don't know. You know, I've been to a lot of spring trainings, but I'm not sure I've looked forward to one as much as
really.
Yeah.
Starting when? I mean, just like you knew. So you got down here, what? A couple of days ago.
So I'll be here for the whole month of March, and I'll open the season with them. And with all I had been through last year, and the ups and downs, and, you know, I realized, you know, how much I still enjoy this job. You know, this will be my 31st season, but it doesn't feel that way to me, and it's just such an outlet for me to take my mind off of some of the other things that have gone on in my life, and I still have a passion for it, and if I didn't, I wouldn't be here. Mm. But I still have a passion for what I do, and I love what I do, and to me, there's nothing like, you know, when they say play ball, let's analyze a game. You know, that's the most fun for it for me.
When you say you look forward to coming down, obviously the weather's nice and being around people. Is it the actual baseball? Like you say, you have a passion for it, but is it the actual? We just came from standing around the clubhouse.
Yeah,
I don't have a passion for standing around the clubhouse.
No, I don't
need
it. Yeah.
But there is an element of, hey, that if, like, much like how hard it is when guys finish playing, of separating themselves from that clubhouse atmosphere.
Right.
So is it the whole thing?
It's the whole picture. You know, it's the start of something new. It's something fresh every year. We all know that, you know, spring training is, everybody's happy. It's the best time of the spring of the year because nobody's made a mistake yet. Nobody's lost a game. You know, and we know how things can have a tendency to change as the season goes on. So I say enjoy it while you can, while you're down here, because this is probably the best it's going to be. You know, but for me, it's like I've never really got the playing out of me. The way I try to approach my job as an analyst is try to be as close to the players as I possibly can, because I think it helps, you know, for them to have a knowledge of me and for me to have a knowledge of them, mm-hmm. and kind of know what they're going through and what, you know, it helps me explain, I think, and analyze a little bit better, you know, that I know more. So, and I just enjoy it. It's been my life since I was 18 years old. Mm. And you don't just forget about any part of your life. Mm. And but you do have to make adjustments, you know, from playing time to broadcast time. There are adjustments you have to make. And you make them, and then you learn what works best for you, and you continue to do that.
Would it be fair to say that when you were going through those really tough times with the chemo and the radiation and everything, that this, like this moment, and then the moment you're going to have when you start broadcasting, that's what sort of, that's what really was the motive, or one of the chief motivating factors.
Yeah, you know, I've always been a goal setter, you know, ever since I can remember, you know, whether it be playing-wise, broadcasting-wise. And so my goal for this year was very simple, you know, let's get through this, and let's get through it the right way, and clean it up, and get back down to doing what I enjoy doing the most, and that's doing a baseball game and hopefully doing it well. And, you know, I have so many people to thank that I don't even know, people I don't even know that, you know, was sending letters and cards and messages, and people I met in the hospital, people I met sitting in radiation, you know, chemotherapy, you know, it's mind-boggling to think what some of these people are going through. And so, you know, immediately my goal was focused on, yes, I'm going to be ready for March 1st to go to spring training. That's what I want to do. I want to be down there, spend some time, spend about 3 weeks where I don't have to worry about doing a game, get to know the new people especially, and then go on and do my job. So, you know, I just want to be healthy for a while. I think I mentioned in a press conference last year, I was down, you know, and I said, I'm just tired of this damn cancer, and you know, and really, that's what it's been. So I hope to grab a few years free of that now and be able to continue to do this.
So the last question about that damn cancer is so what do you do now? Like, you just have to check in?
Yeah. We have scans that will probably go every 3 months, and then I'll have them when we get back from spring training, and then they, you know, depending on how things are going, they may extend it to every 6 months. But that's part of the rest of my life. I mean, you know, I'll be scanned every three to six months for the rest of my life, and which is a good thing because, you know, they pick things up early. So, you know, I talked about it before. You really got to see your doctors. You know, too many people avoid seeing their doctors, and doctors saved my life. You know, because they picked something up very early, and if you're able to get things early, you got a much better chance. And you know, so many people are afraid to go to doctors because they're afraid to find out what's wrong. Well, you've got to know what's wrong, because had I not known, I'd be dead by now. So, you know, it's that's pretty much my message.
So now we're going to go to the broadcasting aspect, which hopefully we can, you know, talk more and more about the actual team, the actual broadcaster going forward. And I know people are going to come up to you, how you doing, Jerry? You know, go get him, Jerry, and everything else. But like you said, this is what you like talking about. One interesting thing, I would think, that you've had probably more time off from broadcasting than you had during any stretch. You know, maybe 2013, something like that. So when you watch the games, do you get a different perspective of it?
I don't watch them.
Oh, you don't?
I don't watch them. No, I can't do it. You know, it's too tough for me to do. And I feel like if I'm supposed to be there doing the games, I can't watch them. You know, I just don't. And I also like to form my own opinions. I have a tendency sometimes to listen to other announcers, whether it be national or local or whatever. And, you know, I find myself either agreeing or disagreeing. And I want to be my own person, you know, do it the way I've always done it. And so basically I'll read about the game. The next day. And then if I have a stretch where I'm off for a week, you know, I'll come back in early and get updates from coaches or players on what happened there. And so that's how I go about it. It's just a thing I have. I just can't sit there when I know I'm supposed to be doing something and I'm not able to do it.
You don't even turn the sound down?
No, I don't.
Turn on the radio?
You know what I do sometimes? I watch, if it's a Sunday night game, I might watch that, you know. But I have, it's not for any mean purposes. I just have a problem, you know, being there and not doing the job that I'm supposed to be doing. And so it's much easier for me to turn the game off than not watch it at all and watch something like Blue Bloods instead.
That's fair. I mean, if you aren't going to watch baseball, Blue Bloods is the next logical next explanation. So when you jump back in last year, is it one of these things where it's just like boom, there it is? Like you've done it so long.
You get nervous. I mean, I get nervous prior to if I miss some time and I come back, and it takes you a little while, a couple innings to get back. But after a couple innings, you're back in the flow of thing. And I've been lucky to work with good people who make it easy for me to do that. So I've never had a problem with that. And then last year when I came back was kind of fun because we did some dual broadcasts, three men in the booth.
I like those. You know why? Because I like him anyway. I like all of you guys. But I like it because sort of Dave set you guys up. And it was just like, it's sort of like when we do with this podcast. Like I did it with Pedroia and Cora in the same row. It's not me interviewing Pedroia. It's not me interviewing Cora.
Right.
It's just you guys talking.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I really did. I enjoyed it for a couple of reasons. First of all, it got me back in a booth during chemotherapy. And that was like a big step for me. And I think I did about 10 games at the end of the year. And we did them all three-man booths. And I really enjoyed it much more because I've never been a fan of the three-man booth. But there are some that work and some that don't work. And I thought this one clicked pretty well. Now, I don't know what the schedule is for this year, whether we're going to have any of those coming up.
Do you know how many games you're going to be doing?
I got 115.
115,
year. which is a good number. I think we've come to a place where it's a good number for me. It's a good amount of time off, but yet it's a busy schedule. So, it gives me a chance to get a couple of maybe West Coast trips off, which, become grueling the older you get and frustrating because you're out there around at 1 o'clock in the morning, who's watching,
That's one of the things we talked about with the team this year. Everyone's like, oh, they gotta grab the attention right away. Well, good luck with that. You got a West Coast trip in April.
No, you got a West Coast trip. You got Celtics, you got Bruins.
You got Tampa games.
It's like anything else. I mean, what you hope to do is get off to a good start, and when those clubs wrap up what they're doing, that you are able to, be in a good spot where people pick you up and then carries you through the rest of the season.
So when you also, a big part of last year was sort of, with the act and the price and the chaos and everything else with the team. And I just wonder, from your perspective as a broadcaster, is there a way to get this, for lack of a better term, the likability? I know that they cringe every time you hear this. You've been around a lot of teams. You've been around teams where I would imagine were miserable assholes.
Yeah.
Look,
this was nothing new to me. This was a big deal last year. It continues to be a big deal. But believe me, I've been in the same position, many times. And my approach has always been, I like to get into the ballpark early. I like to go into the clubhouse. And my feeling is, if someone has a problem with me, you're more than welcome to come up and let's talk about it. And I think something got lost in translation here between Eck and Price. And, people will get all over me because I back Price, but I'm not backing him in the situation. He could have handled it differently. There's no question. But you've got to remember, when players can't perform because they're hurt, they're miserable. They're absolutely miserable. And I'm sure that's part of what he was going through last year. Now, if you get a guy that comes back this year and has a terrific season, he's going to be fine. And the Red Sox need him to have a terrific season, So, have I had those issues? Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
I don't know. You would know better than I. The setting was unique, and we've gone through the setting before, but you've had incidents where guys have confronted you on planes and everything.
No, just one time on a plane, Josh Beckett came up to me, and I don't know if he was kidding with me or not. He said, but hey, Lester's really pissed off at you. I said, oh, really? I'm thinking, John Lester's pissed off at me. I said, why? So I got up and I went to the back of the plane where he was sitting. I said, John, I said, you got a problem with me? And he goes, no. I says, I don't have a problem with you. I says, well, John's just told me you're pissed off about something. He says, oh, no, he's just busting your balls. I says, no, he's not. I says, he's something's wrong. So I says, what is the problem? You know, tell me the problem. If I'm wrong, what I do is I correct myself on the air. I will if I feel I'm wrong. And it was something that was said during one of the games he pitched. It was a minor issue. But, you know, you got to take into consideration in my job that these guys are competing at a high level every day. Nobody likes negative criticism, you know, and I don't try to be negative. I try to do it in a way that, lets you know that there's something wrong. But what I've always do in every single game that I do, I say to myself before the game starts, don't forget what it was like to play. And for 31 years, I'm proud to say that I say that before every game, because it's hard to play the game. It's really hard to play the game. And so, you know, you gotta understand the wide range of emotions that the players go through the course of the season. But, you know, that the whole thing last year made me laugh a little bit, because, you know, I've been through it. I think anybody that's had our job has been in the same situation.
Well, it's good that, you know, we talk about the Lester thing. It's good that you powered through the passive aggressiveness, because I think that that's what happens in baseball, and this is the problem I have with it. There's not enough of the, hey, you know what, you have a problem, let's talk through it. That scenario does not surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, no, I had no problem. How many times have we heard that?
Because, you know, but no, there is something wrong. So let's chat about it. And I've always said, and I've done it, I've gone on the air and said, you know, I was wrong in what I said yesterday. And, you know, if the guy's right and he makes sense, and, you know, something I said didn't quite mesh with what, you know, he was thinking, and then I think about it, and if he's right, I'll say it. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all, you know. But you can't be right in this job all the time. You can't be. And you're dealing with so many emotions. You're dealing with players who are, you know, strung out at times, and who are, you know, angry at times, who are very competitive. And they, you know, they hear it, their wives hear it, their families hear it. Sometimes it gets lost in translation, you know. So, I've had plenty of issues.
Here's one of the things that it makes me uncomfortable or mad when the players don't have a good perspective of your job or your job, right? Particularly with the broadcasters. Of like, they're like, well, he works for the team. Why is he saying anything negative at all?
Well, we also work in Boston.
You've seen broadcasters and analysts come and go, because in Boston, if you're not at least honest, this is why I think people respect you, one of the reasons, and like listening to you. You're respectful of them, but you're also honest.
You have to be.
Right, but the players, you've heard it before. Players are like, I thought they worked for the team.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're not cheerleaders for the team, and that's not our job. And we would come off foolish if we tried to be anything but honest with the people of Boston. Look, they're not stupid. They're pretty good baseball fans. They know what's going on. So you have to be honest, but I also say there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. I think there's a right way. For example, I never say, you know, he should have caught that ball. Nobody should have caught a ball. Now, he could have caught that ball. That's a different way of saying it. You know, he could have made that play.
Right.
But nobody should have made a play. That's why they have errors in baseball. You know, it's not that easy. So there's different ways to say things that don't get people annoyed. But, you know, your goal isn't thinking when you're saying stuff that, you know, this guy's annoyed and he's going to be upset with me. Yeah, well, if it is, you know, I go in the next day and we'll sit down and we'll talk about it.
Some broadcasters do think that. They're like, oh, I'm not going to say this because I don't want to.
Nah, you got to say it.
That's good. Yeah. It's also, obviously, I don't need to tell you the right perspective. It's funny you said that because, just doing the pregame show, Hanley, when he was playing left field, he I see him in his locker, and he's like, oh, so you thought I should have caught that? I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, could you have caught it? I'm like, no, but I'm not paying $20 million to catch it. So I think we all fully understand. And I think it's when you come back to the situations last year, it was like, it's like a lot of things. Everyone dug in on their side.
Yeah.
Like, and that's never a good thing. Even when Price had his thing in the clubhouse after, he was going down the right road, and then he sort of veered off, and he's dug in on his side, and it's never a productive thing. What you said with that John Lester scenario, to me, like, that's how it should be done.
Yeah, that's how I try to do it, and like I say, I'm visible, I'm in there every day, I'm blessed to be able to go in, you know, if I want to go in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's actually when I have the most fun in there, because that's where I really get to
chat
with the guys.
Before the media gets in there, right?
Well, it's not that the media, it's just that I get a chance to talk to the players a little bit more. They're a little more accessible, relaxed at that particular time. I get to speak with the coaching staff more. I do some work. And I just feel there's a comfort level there for me. And it's also an opportunity if somebody wants to chat with me, let's have a chat.
Sure.
You know, so it's a part of the day I enjoy, you know, I'm kind of a nut anyway. I like to get my work done early so I can relax before the game and, you know, kind of get focused on that.
What do you make? You're around these guys a lot. You know these guys. Like you said, they probably confide in you more than anybody else. So that's how the dynamic works. When you're around more than anybody, you get to know their personalities. The perception was the likability thing. Like, and my thing was, well, they're good guys. Like,
yeah.
The only thing I would say is that I think they might be a little hesitant right now to show, like, their personalities. I don't know.
I think, you know, and I keep going back to this, and you know, we hear this all the time. This is a very, very difficult place to play. I've played here. I've broadcast here. And it's hard to let your guard down here. It really is. You look at managers, for example. You know, their lifespan's 4 or 5 years here. And then they're burnt out.
I thought Farrell had a real gut. Let his guard down less and less and less.
Yeah,
you know, as it went on.
Yeah,
and like I, you know, I've known John for a long time, but his press conferences, every word was measured much more. Certainly, much more when he was a pitching coach.
Right,
it's hard because
because
he also knows that, like, if there's one slip up, there you go.
Sure, with one blow up, and you know everything hits the fan. So, you know, it's a different place to play. I think in a lot of ways it's tougher than New York, because New York's got two teams they can deal with. Here it's just one team. It's every game is like the World Series. You know, and that's how it's covered. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's different. It's different. I mean, I went from one spectrum with the Angels to coming here, and it was like, oh my God, you know, what a difference this is. But it was a good difference. I wouldn't want it any other way. And I think if players are totally honest with you, they'd rather much be in this kind of a situation than one that people don't care about.
Yeah, well, Bruce Harris, right?
Exactly.
Right?
Well, people leave all the time, and they, you know, after 2 or 3 years, they go, wow, you know, I should have enjoyed myself more. And then, you know, and if I have a message for any players in here, I say enjoy every second you've got, because you've only got about 10 to 15 years to play this game, and then you've got the whole rest of the life to live.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, good, bad, whatever, you know, enjoy what you're doing, because nothing else in life, I don't think, is going to give you the same satisfaction as the competition that you face day in and day out in Major League Baseball. I really don't think so, you know. And I get some of that by doing a game, by staying involved in the game. I get some of that feeling if I can call a hit and run or call a bunt or a squeeze play. That gives me a rush.
Yeah.
And I just think that players, you know, they've got to just try to enjoy this more, because, you know, once it's gone, it's hard
hard to find something as challenging and rewarding as what you've been doing.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to lie to you. I've enjoyed this because I'm sitting in really nice weather talking to you, and I could talk to you all the live long day, but and I'm sure we'll talk again. But most importantly, Jerry, it's awesome seeing you here. It's awesome. It's always awesome talking with you, and I really look forward to just sitting around doing nothing in Fort Myers and just talking.
All right, Rob. It's been fun. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Jerry.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.